I'd like us to go back to the verses that we read for the scripture reading, Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. We're looking this morning at the subject, the souls for whom Christ died. Luke 24, verse 47, and says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things." Over and over again, we see the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of John, and in the first chapter of Acts, the Great Commission is given. We just heard the song, "Tell It Again." Tell me the old, old story. Why are we telling the story? Are we telling it because it's a good story? Not primarily. Why are we telling it? We're telling it because there's people that need to hear it. Because if they don't hear it, they're going to die and they're going to go to hell. Now, I do believe the primary purpose of our existence is for the glory of God. But don't get me wrong. I do believe that yet there's a reason that God told us to give the gospel to everyone. Because everyone needs to be saved. And if they don't hear the gospel, they're not going to be saved. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. God is offering salvation to all men because all men need to be saved and can be saved. Who are the souls for whom Christ died? I want us just to stop and think a little bit about who it is that Christ died for. Let's turn back a few chapters to Luke chapter 19. The first group that we're going to look at this morning is the souls of lost men. The souls of lost men and women. These are the ones that Christ died for. The souls of lost men. I want us to think specifically at that word lost. The souls of lost men and women. Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, verse 1. "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." He was the chief among the publicans. He was a tax collector. And he did the job that the Roman government wanted him to do, to collect taxes for them, and the Jews hated it. But he was rich also. He cheated people. He took more than he should have. He was a wicked man. He was a lost man. Everybody knew it. He was a lost man. Verse 3, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature." Now, this is not talking about CNN and ABC when it says the press. Now, I know, you know, sometimes you watch the president gives a speech and the press, they press on him. That's kind of the idea. Everybody was crowding Jesus, and Zacchaeus was a short man. He couldn't see Jesus. Verse 4, "He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." Now, if he was in Wisconsin, he probably would have climbed into a box elder tree. Pretty easy to climb. "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Jesus had an appointment. Who did Jesus have an appointment with? He had an appointment with a lost person. A person that he wanted to win to himself. That's a lesson that we need to learn. We need to make appointments with lost people that need to be won. And that's what Jesus did. Zacchaeus was ready. So Jesus came, made an appointment with him. And verse 7, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Because the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to die for lost men. Jesus came because he came to call the righteous, or call sinners to repentance. Came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Why didn't he come to call the righteous? Because the righteous don't need to be saved. But there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So Jesus died for the souls of lost men. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9. Here's another man, despised by his fellow Jews because he was working for the Roman government. Matthew 9, verse 9. And as Jesus passed from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he, that's Matthew, arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat with him and his disciples. What is the quality, what's the character of these people that Jesus was calling and spending time with? Sinners, publicans, tax collectors, people that other people didn't like. You know, if we're going to win souls, we're going to have to spend time with people that most people don't want to spend time with. Because Jesus came to die for lost men. And that's what Jesus was doing here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus came to die for the souls of lost men. Men who knew they were lost. And men who needed to be saved. But we're also going to see he came to die not only for the lost, but he died for the religious. Let's look at John chapter 3. He died for those who think they don't need to be saved. John chapter 3. Jesus has a meeting with Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. John 3 verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus came for the souls of lost religious men. Now that's not the message we're hearing today from ecumenical evangelists, is it? They say that as long as you believe in your heart and you have some fuzzy feeling for God and you really truly believe God, then you're fine. You don't have to go through Jesus. Men like Billy Graham, Robert Schuller, and I'm sure there's a host of new preachers nowadays that are preaching that message. But that's not the message Jesus preached. Nicodemus was a very religious man. He was a very sincerely religious man. In fact, he was one of the most religious men of his day. He was a ruler of the Jews. But Jesus said to him, ye must be born again. When he said ye, that's the plural of you. In other words, you all need to be born again. All of the Jews needed to be born again. All people need to be born again. So who did Jesus die for? Jesus died for religious men. Now, if you think you're saved because you're a good person, you're not. You're not saved because you're a good person. You're only saved if you've been born again. Jesus goes on to say that you need to be born again because there's two births. Everybody's born physically. I hope that you know your birthday. Do you know your birthday? I was born on September 4th, 1985. At least that's what my birth certificate says. So I believe it's probably right. When were you born the second time? Do you remember? The second birth is one that you should remember. Now, some people say they remember being born. I don't remember being born. I kid you not. I know, I think, two people that say they remember being born. I don't remember being born. But the second birth you will remember. Because the second birth, you have to make a choice in that birth. You don't have to be born the second time. But if you want to be a part of God's kingdom, you must be born the second time. And you must make the choice to trust in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your souls. Because Jesus died for all men. He died for the lost. He died for the religious. And number three, Jesus died for the souls of the whole world. Not just for some specific group of special people. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. Maybe you think you're saved because you're a special person. There's a lot of people who think they're saved because they are one of the elect. And how did they become one of the elect? They were baptized when they were a baby, or they were sprinkled, or they're part of a church, or they're very religious, or they believe in God, so they think, I'm one of God's children. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins, or not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation, that means Jesus satisfied God's wrath on the behalf of everyone in the world. Now, I'm not preaching today that everybody is saved. There's a lot of churches, they believe in universalism, that everybody is saved by virtue of being a human being. Well, if that's true, then Jesus lied. Because Jesus told the story in Luke chapter 16 about two men, a rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus laid at his gate full of sores. The dogs came and licked his sores. He ate the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. The rich man died and Lazarus died. Lazarus was a poor man, but he was a righteous man. He was saved. He woke up in paradise. And the rich man looked good on the outside, but his heart was evil. He awoke in hell. Jesus died for all men, and every man needs to be saved. Whether you think you're good or you think you're bad, you need to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 1 Timothy 2, verse 15, First Timothy 2, verses 4 and 5. I'm talking about praying for people. Why? Verse 4, because God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one mediator, one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. People need to hear about Jesus because God wants all men to be saved. And there's only one way to be saved, and that's through the mediator, the go-between, between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. Now, I just want to think about what I'm calling today the logical progression of God's love. All men are condemned. Let's look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 19. John 3:19. We're looking at the souls for whom Christ died, and the Bible teaches that all men are born condemned. John chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Why do bank robbers like it when it's dark? Because they don't want to be seen. Now with the modern cameras, they can see at night. But generally, people like to be doing things when people don't notice what they're doing. Men love darkness. Men love their evil. Why don't people want to be saved? Because they don't want to be saved from their sin. Now, people have this misconception that if they die, they go to hell, they're going to party. Hell is not a party place. Hell is not a fun place. You're not going to have fun with your drinking buddies in hell. And your neighbors who die aren't going to have fun in hell. Because all are condemned. You were born condemned. If you're sitting here today, you were born condemned. Why? Romans chapter 3 says, "For all have sinned." Everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. God demands perfection. Heaven is a holy place. If you look at Revelation chapters 20 through 22, you'll see what heaven is like. We're not going to turn there. But you'll see that there's nothing bad in heaven. Everything's good. God doesn't let sin into heaven because sin defiles. What made this earth a bad place? Sin. So sin can't be in heaven. Because sin is what corrupts. Sin is what brings death. So all men are condemned because all men are sinners. But God loves sinners. The Bible tells us in John chapter 3 that God loves the world. Romans 5 verse 8 tells us how God shows his love. Romans chapter 5 verse 8, let's look at that. Romans 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God showed his love by sending his son to die for us. Now, who did he die for? The Bible says he demonstrates, he commends his love toward us because Christ died for us. That's how he shows it. Who did Christ die for? Who did God demonstrate his love to? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Amen. Now, I read a commentary written back in the 1800s about John 3:16. "For God so loved the world" means God loved the church. Interesting. The Bible says God loved the world. He's not willing that any should perish. And if God loves everybody and he demonstrated his love to everybody by dying for us, that means he died for everybody. That means everybody needs to hear that Jesus died for them. God so loved the world, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we need to think logically sometimes. All are born condemned, but God loves all. So God wanted to show his love that he has for all by sending his son to die on the cross so that all could be saved because he loves everybody. So let's think logically here. Jesus died so that everybody could be saved. Now, we're going to keep going in this logical progression, but let's just think about this for a little bit right here. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Why was the Apostle Paul endangering his life? Because he knew that the offer of salvation was for all. And his goal was to give it to everyone that he possibly could. He started with the Jews. He'd go to a city. He'd go to the synagogue. He'd preach the gospel to the Jews. If they rejected it, he would keep preaching, but he'd preach to the Gentiles. He would give the gospel to everyone he could. If we look at the book of Romans, the book of Romans shows us that all men are sinners. Chapter 2, all men are condemned. All men are sinners, Romans chapter 3. We all have the opportunity to know about God through the creation. And all men have the opportunity to be saved through what God did for us. Christ died for all. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who's the Word? Well, it says the same, or the Word, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. All things were made by the Word. And with it, without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from John, whose name was from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John came to bear witness of the light. He pointed people to Jesus, the true light. And when Jesus came, he pointed people to Jesus. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. He was pointing to people to Jesus. Jesus came so that all men could be saved. Now, a simple Google search will reveal the need in the world today. There's 7.6 billion people in the world today. Both China and India have over a billion people each. They say that by the year 2100, the world will probably have 11.2 billion people. Wisconsin has 5.8 million people. I was thinking about this recently in light of Johannesburg, South Africa. The greater Johannesburg area has 10 to 12 million people. Figured that if we had 1,000 people giving one tract a day, it would take, I think, 10,000 days to get everybody a tract. If we had 100 people, it would take 1,000 days if everybody gave 100 tracts. I can't remember all the math. It would take a long time. And that's just to get them tracts. We need to realize the world is big. Wisconsin, 5.8 million people. Mequonago, 14,688. Mequonago, town and village. East Troy, the town and the village, 8,406 people. And here, how many do we have here today? About 120 maybe? No, I'm saying how many people? 120 maybe? What is that? Is that even 1%? No, I don't think so. So we've got a big job to do, don't we? Waukesha and Walworth counties together, 500,000 people. Waterford, no independent Baptist church. East Troy, no independent Baptist church. Eagle, no independent Baptist church. North Prairie, no independent Baptist church. Big Bend, no independent Baptist church. Muskego, I think they used to, but they don't have any independent Baptist church. Guess what? All of these places have gas stations. All of these places, I think, have restaurants. They're not worried about too much competition. Hey, we don't have to worry about too much competition. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you could drive over to East Troy and there was a Baptist church over there? Wouldn't that be wonderful if you could drive to Eagle and there was a Baptist church over there? If you could drive over to Big Bend and there was a Baptist church over there? Gospel preaching Baptist church? Jesus died for all these people. We need to tell them. So the logical progression is this. All men are condemned. Jesus died, loved for all men. So he died for all men. And all men need to hear about Jesus, so we need to tell them. Not just because they need to be told, but because Jesus died for the souls in his church. Let's think about that. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Why? Because Christ is our example. And we need to love our wives just like Christ loved the church. So, what are we getting at here today? Everybody here today that is saved, Jesus died for you. And you know it. You accepted him as your Savior. And you know you're saved. And you also know that Jesus told you to tell others. And you have a holy obligation. It's not an option. It's a holy obligation to preach the gospel to all people. Jude 23, of some have compassion. There's people who are dying and they need you to have compassion on them. You might not like that person. You might not like their personality. You might not like what they've done to you, but you need to have compassion on them. And some have compassion making a difference. Making a difference. I don't think it's saying make a difference in their lives. I think it's saying make a difference based on what the next verse says. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. There's some people that are this close to falling into hell. And we need to realize some people need to be saved with fear. And they need to have the fear of God. They need to realize they're going to die and go to hell. I remember witnessing to a lady once in Elandsfontein, South Africa. Got to share the gospel with her. I didn't realize that she was convicted right when I walked up because she had a beer bottle there. And she had some flowers in the beer bottle. And she felt embarrassed that the pastor was going to talk to her with a beer bottle there, which is amazing. Because South Africans drink beer like Wisconsinites drink beer. But she was embarrassed. And I told her the gospel, but she wasn't ready to accept it. Because she didn't fear God enough. But I said, you know what? What if you stepped out in that road and a car came and hit you and you died? Where would you go? She realized, I need to be saved right now. She got saved. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. You know, Jesus was one of the greatest soul winners. He was the greatest soul winner. Luke 4, let's see what Jesus said about his mission. He goes into the synagogue in Nazareth. He opens up the book of Isaiah, reads it. Verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus came for all these people. He came for the poor. He came for the brokenhearted who need to be healed. Hey, there's an addictions ministry that's being started here. And these people need to be saved. They're brokenhearted. He came to preach deliverance to the captives. They say that 80% of the drug addictions today start from prescription medication. You know what that tells me? When they say that 50 to 60 or 70% of Americans are on prescription medications, there's a high probability that your neighbor is addicted or will become addicted. People are in chains to sin. Jesus came to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus came for the poor. He came for the rich. He came for the religious. He came for the lost. He came for everyone. We need to preach the gospel to everyone. And there was one religious man that Jesus came to, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus did get saved. Sometimes the religious are hard. Wisconsin, 81% Christian. A lot of religious people here. Lots of Catholics. Lots of Lutherans. They don't think they're lost, but they need to be saved. There's a lot of new evangelical churches today. We have one right in town. People are hearing a watered-down gospel. Those people need to be saved. There's a lot of need today. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to tell them? Because if we don't tell them, nobody's going to tell them. The world's not going to tell them. The false churches are not going to tell them. It's the responsibility of this local church to reach this Jerusalem for Jesus Christ, one soul at a time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity, and not just the opportunity, but the obligation that we have to fulfill the Great Commission in this generation, one soul at a time. Lord, help us not to be lazy. Help us not to be fearful. But help us to understand what it is we have to do. Lord, I pray if there's any soul here today that realized that they're on their way to hell because they don't have Jesus as their Savior, I pray that that soul would come forward at the invitation and would be saved. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.